Nisambulavinaka Pacific Wave listeners, Koroy Hawkins here. Because of COVID-19 lockdown here in New Zealand, we can't bring you our usual daily show, and we're really sorry about that. It stinks, and we'll be back in your feed as soon as we can, but while we can't make our usual shows, it doesn't mean we're not covering Pacific news. Each night, I talk about some of the day's stories with RNZ Night's host, Brian Crump. Here's one of our chats.
Koroy Hawkins is joining me for a Pacific chat. How are you on bird spotting, Koroy?
That first one sounded like an insect or something. Yeah, it was weird.
No, it's a bird. It's a bird. I thought it was a bit like a pneumatic drill, you know, sort of a toy pneumatic drill.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with New Zealand birds, but I spent a lot of my childhood trying to mimic birds back home. So,
well, there are some birds that live, that's part of their life in the Solomon Islands and then part of their life here. Am I right? I think some.
Ah, there must be. Some of the
cuckoo, I think, the long-tailed and shiny, or maybe they go further north. But I think they might hang out in the Solomons.
Wouldn't put it past them.
No, I wouldn't either. So, Pacific Waves, shall we get the COVID stuff out of the way first? Because I'm sure there's a bit of COVID news to share.
Yeah, so some vaccination news to start. There's Kiribati today says it's got enough doses of vaccine to cover its entire eligible population. So some good news on that front. They got 90,000 doses of Sinopharm this morning from China. And that's on top of 114,000 doses of AstraZeneca that they've got from Japan, the COVAX facility in Australia. So they're aiming for 71,000 people above the age of 18. And the health minister there says last week they'd reached 13,970 with the first dose and about almost 7,000 who've completed both doses. So on track in Kiribati. Of course, Kiribati, no cases of COVID-19 in the community, but they have had a few scares with foreign vessels having COVID on board that have docked in port.
Is Kiribati still a country where a lot of men work as crew on big shipping boats?
Yeah, it's got a massive massive seafaring workforce. There's actually some stuck in Fiji at the moment that have been asking for help to try and get home. When COVID initially struck, they brought back, I think, hundreds from around the world back into Kiribati, and they're actually working really hard now to try and get them back onto boats and back into employment because it's one of the biggest revenue earners for them. And some of them have actually changed sort of career to go on Australia's seasonal work program and RSC kind of work in recent months just because they can't get back on the boats.
Norfolk Island, sometimes I forget that this is, of course, like the rest of this part of the world, a Pacific island. I remember you at RNZ Pacific running stories on a bit of a political crisis in terms of self-government in Norfolk Island and losing that to New South Wales. But this is not about that, this new story that's come out of Norfolk.
It is related, yes.
Oh, it is?
It is related, yes. So basically it's part of the ongoing objection to that stripping of their autonomy back in 2015. So they were a self-governing sort of autonomous territory of Australia, but that was stripped in 2015, and now they're under New South Wales. But this latest story is from teachers who are actually having the whole education system is going to move state and come under Queensland from next year, apparently. But teachers there say they haven't been consulted, and so they're quite unsure of what that means for them in terms of all of their superannuation, their awards, or how this transfers. And the Teachers Federation representative for the island, Susie Hale, was talking to Don Wiseman today about they're worried that they're actually going to lose teachers because people might not want to make that move, and they'll lose a lot of them who'll go back to their homes in New South Wales and stop teaching on the island. So quite a bit of a crisis. The health system apparently is also being moved under Queensland Authority, if I remember. And this is so on the that level, but on a higher level, they actually have before the UN appeal to be listed as a self-governing territory and to get their autonomy back. So some big issues in Norfolk Island for sure.
fishing, of course, is a very big money earner for many Pacific Island nations, including your Solomon Islands, right?
Yes.
And what's happening with, now I can't say this, is it Besh de Mer?
I think that's pretty much it, yeah, Besh de Mer. In the local pidgin they say Bestima, so it's even different from that. But yeah, today a ban on this industry, basically ocean slugs, sea cucumbers industry, has been lifted today. It's actually the second largest fishery after tuna for the Solomon Islands, so a massive, massive revenue earner for the country. But unlike tuna, it's harvested by local communities at the village level, so it's a really, really effective way for direct cash injection into the rural economy. And so the government's lifted that a ban on it. Today, the ban was brought in because of overfishing of it, over harvesting of the sea cucumbers. So that's been lifted today for a year, because of the impacts of COVID on revenue, on economy, and on livelihoods. So,
what's the market? Who buys them? What do they use them for?
It's a delicacy in Asian cuisine. So there's a huge market. Yeah, the white teat and black teat fish, which is the more expensive species, can fetch up to $400 a kilogram. That's dried weight. And my uncle actually used to buy sea cucumber in the Western Province, and I helped him with some of the processing. It's a very smelly business.
Is it worth it? Does it taste good?
No one in Solomon's actually eats it, I don't think. Exported overseas and it's eaten in Asia. I don't think it's not eaten at all locally.
Okay.
Yeah. It was quite problematic though, because it's so valuable and because cash is so hard to come by in rural communities. People do go to really, really long lengths to get the sea slugs, and some of it is quite destructive for coral and also dangerous for divers because the more valuable species are quite deep underwater and they have to go quite deep for the sea slugs.
I remember when I lived in the Northern Territory of Australia and there was contact between people from what we now call Indonesia, Sulawesi, I think, and the traditional owners of the Northern Territory. And the trade was based around sea cucumber.
Yeah,
and this was way before the Europeans arrived in Australia.
Yeah, it was so valuable at its height in Solomon's. You could go to a shop in the provinces and purchase goods with sea cucumber as cash. That's how valuable it is. Yeah,
that is stinky money. Micronesia. You were talking last week about a bit of a breakdown with the Pacific Island Forum, Micronesian nations, and maybe other parts of the forum, maybe the nations of Micronesia going their own way. And they're just holding their own summit at the moment, are they?
Yeah.
Which is that anything to do with the Pacific Islands Forum break?
So every sort of region, sub-region of the Pacific has their own sort of leaders group. So there's the Polynesian leaders. Melanesia has the Melanesian Spearhead Group, sort of their little regional blocks. And this existed before the sort of impending split. So it's Nauru, the Federated States of Micronesia, Marshall Islands, Palau, and Kiribati. But yeah, now this is happening in light of them preparing to leave the forum. So we're watching it quite closely. Trade and transportation is sort of the main issue they're looking at. And the chair, I understand, and host Nauru, Lionel Angyeme, is saying because of all of the issues with COVID, with climate change, but now even more so because they're planning to withdraw from the Pacific Islands Forum, they need to sort of really navigate a path towards better trade between themselves and transportation between Micronesia. So a small meeting, but some big issues likely to come out of it.
Are there still refugees on Nauru? Remember the Australian solution to the boat people problem?
I think there are a few still there. Most of them have been resettled or back in Australia. I know the ones in Manus and PNG so half stuck in limbo in Papua New Guinea around the place and returned to Australia. But I understand there are a few still on Nauru, and the centres, I understand, Australia is still paying for to be maintained. So even though there's no one there, I think the detention centres are still upkept and functioning.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, which was in the news today, and you may not be able to answer this, but this is the impact that the government saying it might have to delay RES workers coming into New Zealand from the islands.
Yeah,
simply because we've got ourselves a bit of a COVID situation again here. Now, that will be having a bit of an impact on many island nations in terms of this is, as you were talking about with Kiribati, it's a big source of overseas revenue.
Yeah, definitely. Now, based on this is just happening, obviously, so reactions probably we'll be getting tomorrow from the region. But based on the excitement that was greeted with when that was initially announced, a lot of people were quite happy around the region in the countries that were selected for that. To be involved in that. So yeah, just listening to the little bit that I heard of the minister, though, it sounded like he was more like, I don't think they would even want to be coming here now with us still in this situation, because most of these countries obviously COVID free as well. So I think it might be a more common sense kind of a situation than a New Zealand sort of pulling the plug on it.
Fur seals, I thought they lived way south of the tropics. They don't go north, do they?
I had a look at the map. It's a long way to go to Benga Island, which is just south of Viti Levu. And had a look on social media at some of the pictures. And yeah, there's what looks like an adult fur seal just chilling in the tropics on holiday.
I mean, I would have thought that they wouldn't be. They'd be even less likely to go north with global warming.
Yeah, be sure. Yeah, it's for sure. It is quite surprising, and it was confirmed by marine scientists from Massey University that it was a fur seal today. And the advice, I saw some of the villagers were trying to get close to it and getting quite frightened and running away, and some of the videos posted. But obviously, they're advising them as they do here with seals to just not get too close and not get between them and the ocean. The Ministry of Fisheries in Fiji is taking a hands-off approach. It says it's just going to let it do its thing and hopefully it'll find its way home.
I know that crocodiles have been seen swimming towards New Zealand. We're talking about the big bad salties, but I think still about 500 to 800 kilometres away.
yeah, that's a long way. Apparently, I was just looking up some info on this seal, and apparently it's one of the... it's actually like a super seal, something like you can dive about 15 minutes to a depth of 380 meters. The average species apparently only dives for like 1 to 2 minutes. So this is like a seal on steroids. Yeah. I don't know much about seals, as you can probably tell. I'm probably as surprised. We actually took the family out to Red Rocks and tried to have a look at some seals.
Did you?
Yeah.
They're another smelly thing.
Yeah.
Was the smell as bad as sea cucumber?
Probably similar, very
right.
Similar.
Okay, well, you've just told me a lot about sea cucumber there. Kuroi, it's lovely talking with you. All the very best, and we'll speak with you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Brian.
Kuroi Hawkins from RNZ Pacific, back with another Pacific Chat.
That's our Pacific Waves chat with Knights host Brian Crump for today. We'll be back to normal programming as soon as New Zealand comes out of lockdown. Remember, you can listen to us free on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or any podcast platform. And if you're using Apple, please leave us a rating so others can also find us. Ka kite anō.